Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Happy Friday, everybody. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve and the gang are back on Monday. Jane Monzuris is here. Good morning. Mark Carman is here. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Pete.
I want to apologize in advance for this show from now until 10 o'clock with you two hanging out. It's always a good time.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping a dog shows up and we have an accident right behind you. That was the highlight of my radio life.
That happened a while back.
Did that actually happen?
Yes. Who brought the dog in the studio? Thank you. Steve Dale. Steve Dale brought the dog in the studio, and the dog had an accident for the first time ever.
Number two.
Number two.
Oh, no.
Right behind me.
An accident is an understatement, by the way.
Oh, yes. It was
huge. And you had to clean it up.
It was like the dog was holding it for a week. Yeah. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to the 6 at 6. Let's go, baby. Come on now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Men.
6 at 6, coming in at number one, the Senate Republican leaders rolled out their latest version of the health care bill. Two key Republicans, Susan Collins of Maine, couldn't say no fast enough. Rand Paul of Kentucky said, nope, I'm not going to vote for it. Susan Collins tweeted yesterday, still deep cuts to Medicaid in the Senate bill, will vote no.
Yeah.
So they wanted to hurry up and roll it out so it can hurry up and be rejected.
Hurry up and wait. The likelihood of it passing, pretty slim, but I think we knew it was going to take a long time.
Right. Okay. 6 at 6, number two, big flood concerns as the Des Plaines River continues to rise. The rain has ended, but the water is still rising in the north burbs. Flooding problems in the next few days could be very dangerous. State of emergency in Lake County. This isn't good.
Not good.
People's basements flooded. David Hochberg is going to come on it sometime this morning. What time? 6:40 this morning to talk about this.
But the good news is the rain now has stopped, so we're not worried about more rain. It's going to dry out for the weekend, but we're worrying about the
water keeps rising.
Exactly.
Right. The Emmy nominations are out. Saturday Night Live and Westworld lead the pack with 22 nominations. Any surprises?
I don't think there's a lot of, I mean, I'm excited about a lot of nominations on Netflix, like The Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited about Big Little Liars. You've got Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon both up for best actress.
HBO, 110 nominations. Netflix with 91. I'm telling you, I was late to the Netflix party. I absolutely love it.
What has changed TV?
It is. Do you have Netflix?
Our lives are just been made better by Netflix. I mean,
agreed.
It's changed everything. Go Netflix.
I just jumped on in December.
I'm signing up today.
Signing up today. Yes. Don't look at me like that. All right. At number four, the Justice Department charged 412 people nationwide, including dozens of doctors in scams that defrauded the government of about $1.3 billion. Nearly one-third were accused of opioid-related crimes.
Yeah. Opioid, big issue.
Drug overdoses are now the leading cause of death among Americans under 50. That's the number one cause of death under 50 now for Americans.
And do you know now that in Akron, Ohio, that the opioid overdose rate is so high, they're going to add an opioid antidote into high schools? So you've got your fire extinguisher, your defibrillator, and now we've got the opioid antidote.
God, this is a big problem. The internet is blowing up over the picture of what Sammy Sosa looks like now. He is more white than Steve Grzanich, and that's white. Let me tell you. Have you seen
these? Little pink, too. Little pink.
Have you seen these pictures?
Yes, I've seen the pictures.
It's really disturbing.
What's going on? How does he explain this?
He did a triple take. I was like, what?
Right? He's got some skin something going on, so he's using a cream, and it's lightening him up. I mean, it's... When you look at the pictures...
Why
is
he doing it?
I've heard
that story before. I don't...
Is this a Michael Jackson thing where he said he's got a skin problem?
He's on the way to being Michael Jackson at the very end, color white, really. Bring him back to Wrigley. No one's going to even recognize him.
If you haven't seen the picture, I posted the picture of Sammy Sosa then and now on my Facebook page. And number six, the 6 at 6, the Cubs acquire Jose Quintana from the White Sox in exchange for minor league prospects. Carm?
World Series. this year, next year, every year. Makes sense for both teams. I think it's a great deal
a
for the Sox.
A proven major leaguer for four unproven prospects.
Number five prospect in all of baseball, though. Eloy Jimenez can hit.
But you don't know what he's going to do in the bigs.
Yeah, but the White Sox are building for the future. That's what you do. You trade your talent now for premium prospects. The White Sox have nine prospects in the top 100. Teams that have done that before.
Right.
Cubs won the World Series.
Yep.
Astros are on the verge of winning the World Series. The Kansas City Royals won the World Series. White Sox are on a great path right now.
Do you like this trade?
I do.
It helps both teams.
It's a beautiful thing. We're building World Series, more of them on the north side, and then the south side is going to take over in about 2019-2020.
The Top 6 at 6 brought to you by our good friends at American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. And right now we'll take caller number 6 at 312-981-7200. Caller 6 picks up a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Let's take a look at traffic. Here's Susan.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
Lou's First Call. If you get on the air as Lou's First Call, we're going to set you up with an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat from American Weathermakers. 312-981-7200. Let's bring in Mr. Fix-It. You can hear him Saturday mornings right here on 720 WGN. It's Lou Manfredini. Lou!
Hello, Peter.
Lou, before we talk about flooding, I have a question about air-conditioned filters. How often do we change them?
Well, I mean, it all depends on your home and the amount of dust. Typically, I like the pleated filters, and it's about a once a month, once every 2 months. But it really depends. You should pull it out. You know, they're typically white, and when you see that they're kind of gray or brown, swap them out.
Okay. A lot of people have flooding, water in their basements.
Oh, yeah.
Mary has a question for you. Sandberg, something happened at her house, and she's got some water. Hold on. She's walking into the studio right now. Go ahead, Sandberg.
All right. I texted Lou the picture. I walked into my stepson's room the day it rained. Was that Wednesday or whatever? And there was water on the floor, which is a wood floor, which is annoying. And I looked up, and the ceiling is clearly, there's a ton of peeled paint, and obviously there's an issue.
Right.
And
what's
so
above there?
I was with a contractor because he was there to, I wanted him to tell me about fixing a leaky faucet on the sink. And I don't like to bother you all the time, Lou. And then I took him in Patrick's room. I was going to show him something else. And then we walked into water on the floor. So it's a good thing he was there. And he goes, you got to call your insurance. So I called my insurance and they're going to send out an adjuster in the next 48 hours. What I want to know is, well, Pete saw the picture this morning, and he said, I need to cut up open the ceiling.
You got to pop that ceiling and let that water
and
out. Am I right,
out.
Lou?
And then the insurance people keep asking me if I've been on the roof to assess the situation. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I change light bulbs, but I'm not going on the roof to assess. I don't even know what I would be assessing.
Right, right. Okay, couple things. Any idea how new the roof is on the house?
It's not new. I think when we bought the house 2 years ago, they said it had like 5 to 7 years left.
5 to 7.
So right. Probably so
when
like
we have
4 years
when
left.
When we have this kind of rain, okay, this kind of concentrated, continuous rain, there's going to be a bunch of stuff that leaks on people's homes that's never leaked before. 90% of the time, those leaks are due to some sort of flashing failure. So maybe... Again, I've not been to the house, because you never invite me. And but there could be a chimney nearby. There could be a dormer nearby where there's some sort of flashing failure because there's been so much water. And so more than likely from a lot of people that experience like, wow, I never had this leak before. It's just a quick fix for a roofing contractor who now they're all busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest. And so, you know, it's going to be really difficult to get these contractors out. And the concern I have for a lot of people, especially with roofs, is this is when people get taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, somebody comes knocking on the door. They're like, hey, it's me, and I hear you got a roof leak. We can come in and fix it right now. And so don't do that. Really stay with reputable people. And more than likely, Mary, what you have is a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to open up that ceiling. It will dry out. If there's an attic above, it's great if you could poke your nose up there with a flashlight just to see.
Mm-hmm.
While things are still damp, I think when you showed me the picture, it looks like it's near a wall, right?
So yes.
That might be where the roof is a little bit tight, where you can't get up there and crawl over there. But with a really bright light, you could kind of take a look and see, oh, yeah, I see water right there. And if you can, with the flashlight, take a picture so that when the insurance adjuster comes or whomever, you can at least show them something.
Right, because that's my fear. By the time they show up, it's going to be dry.
Dry. Yeah.
Why not drain the water?
It's already drained.
It drained right onto the floor.
So that's it. Just let it dry.
Yeah, it'll dry. And I mean, that's the thing about, oh, what about mold and mildew? Something like that where it's clean water from rain, Pete, it'll dry right out. There really shouldn't be any mildew or mold issue. Again, it's not. It's a good thing to poke your nose up there to see. Like, oh, my gosh, there's all kinds of water up here. I mean, you know, that could be the case, but I doubt it.
What about basements? A lot of people, they have water seeping in their basements right now. Do they need to? Because we all worry about mold. Is it right. How do they know that their walls aren't getting mold inside their walls?
Well, so this is a problem. If if there's standing water, if you came home to, 3-4 inches of water in the basement, that, because there's typically insulation down there, and again, there's insulation in the attic too. So, but the thing is an attic breathes a little bit more because there's venting up there. In a basement where you have basement walls, where you have drywall and insulation that's trapping that moisture underneath there, that all has to get cut out. And so if you have 3 inches of water, you need to cut the wall from the ground up at least 6 inches so that you remove any damaged drywall. All that insulation, at least the wet part, needs to come out.
Right.
It has to dry thoroughly. Bunch of different products you can use. Obviously you can use some fans. You don't use bleach. Everybody runs to bleach, and bleach is not the right product for porous materials like drywall and wood. Helpful Home has a mold cleaner that you can use. We talk about it on the radio called Fog You Mold, which is a great way to clean it. Concrobium has a line of cleaners that will eat and attack the mold, and it has residual value. And so even after you clean it all up, you spray it again. Both of these products have the residual value. You spray it again, and it'll make sure that the mold doesn't come back.
God, I've been there twice. I mean, you said cut open your
it's
walls.
Awful.
I can just
awful.
The picture of my basement with the carpet pulled up and the bottom of the walls cut out. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awful.
All right. Let's go to your first.
It was a lot of water.
It was a lot of water in my basement. Let's go to Guy in Elgin. Guy, you're Lou's first call. What's your question?
Good morning, everybody. Hey, Lou, I've got some bricks in my chimney that are starting to flake and crumble. Now, it's not just on the floor. There's a few couple on the floor that are doing it, but there's also a couple maybe about 3 feet up that are starting to do it. About 4 or 5 years ago, we switched finally from an oil furnace to a forced air gas furnace. Is this something that could be causing it, number one? And number two, to get this thing repaired, I hate to ask what kind of dollars we're looking at.
When you had the furnace replaced, did they put in a chimney liner?
Not to my knowledge. They just swiped out the furnace.
Okay, and does the furnace vent through the chimney, or does it vent out to the side wall?
No, it vents through the chimney.
Okay. So more than likely, if they did not put a chimney liner, this could be the cause, because modern furnaces, even ones that get vented, don't create enough heat to vent. And so it's probably building up moisture on the bottom, and it's rolling. And when it rolls, that brick absorbs it, and then you get this flaking. So you need someone to come out and put in a chimney liner on this existing furnace. That was an installation mistake by the contractor. That absolutely should have had a liner, especially with an old oil furnace and an old masonry chimney. Call somebody like Lindemann Chimney Company to come out, and they can both put in a liner and they can fix those bricks for you. Cost on the liner, again, it varies on your chimney, but it can be anywhere from $600 to $1,500 for the liner, and then the brick part probably won't be that bad.
Awesome. Lou, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Guy, don't hang up. Hold on the line. Since you're Lou's first call, we're going to set you up with an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. How would you like to be Lou Manfredini? Everybody comes to you with their problem.
I love Lou Manfredini.
You're my hero, Lou.
You're so patient on Saturday mornings. You know I listen every week on my way to the club.
Everybody's listening.
Thank you.
I love it. Thanks, Lou.
Love you, people.
All right. See you, buddy. And, of course, Lou Manfredini brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. The big story coming up next with Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
What we're looking at right now is the water levels continue to rise for the Des Plaines River.
Police and fire will not be able to get through the water to you if there's an emergency, so please take whatever precautions you feel are necessary. This will be the largest flood event the Village of Gurnee has ever seen.
And it just kept getting closer and closer until it's pretty much all the way up to the house, and our garage has about a foot of water in there.
I know, like I said, a lot of people in this neighborhood, and I feel really, really terrible for them.
When you live next to the Des Plaines River and they say you can't have basements because of floods, and this happens every 3 years, why do you have a house here?
641, I've been there, and it's just horrible, flooding basements. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, Steve and the gang back on Monday. Jane Monzuris is here, Mark Carman's here. On the phone with us, he's done about 17 of my mortgages. It's David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage. Lake County declared a disaster area. What does this mean, David, for homeowners?
Well, it doesn't mean anything as of yet for homeowners because the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and the agencies haven't released anything to state that we have to do follow-up appraisals. When I saw that, I was on the train yesterday when that came across my email that Lake County declared a disaster. So I sent an email out to all my loan officers that, hey, get your list together of everybody in Lake County and be prepared, get ahead of this in case we have to do follow-up appraisals. Typically, when a cataclysmic event like this, a weather event like this happens, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and all the agencies, FHA, sent something out that we have to do, all the lenders have to do a follow-up appraisal of all loans currently in those counties to make sure there's no flood damage or water damage, because the appraiser is the eyes of the lender, right? So, but thank goodness, you know, we're praying and holding our breaths that until the loan funds, you're at the mercy of whatever the agencies or whatever the lender who's buying your loan or going to be servicing your loan wants to do. So, as of right now, right, I'm probably jinxing it. We have not received anything, so there's nothing to worry about. But if you have a loan in process and your lender calls you, might be calling you to say, hey, everything's fine, we just need to do a follow-up appraisal on your home, get ready for that. Get ready for the delays because the appraisers are already backed up a little bit due to the housing boom and low rates and people buying homes. So just be prepared, right? And don't fire on your lender. Your lender's just doing his or her job following the rules set out by the lenders to make sure that they are doing loans on homes that are damaged. So it's that simple. And can I just make another point, Pete?
Yep.
For anybody that's looking to buy a home, the last time we had this rain was about 30 days ago, at the beginning of June, if you'd remember. Another gigantic storm blew through Northern Lake Counties, Cook County. I'm up in Northbrook, right by the line. And my sister-in-law was buying a home. And she drove past the home that she was buying after the rains, just to see what was going on in the neighborhood, which is smart. I'd recommend all people buying a home to drive by the home that you're about ready to buy,
right,
to make sure there's no pumps or hoses or electrical or any type of, you know, remediation company out there to make sure everything's fine. She saw a hose coming out of the back window of the basement.
So
I get a call at 6:30 in the morning from her freaking out. She's like, "What does this mean?" I'm like, "Well, it means there's a hose coming out of the basement." I'm like, "What the hell do I know? I'm working out here."
There's water in the basement.
Well, it doesn't mean that. So I said, it just means that they have a hose coming out the window. I have a very simple solution. Let's call up Roy Spencer at PermaSeal, which we did. They sent a crew out there, a consultant out there, looked at the basement. It was dry. Looked at the sump pump. It was just needed an extra bigger pump in order to keep up with the water. Everything was dry. Everything was good. But that's a great example of a proactive buyer about ready to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a home, albeit my sister-in-law, who was proactive and drove by the house just to make sure that everything was okay.
Well, here,
what's that?
Here's a question for you. I know you're supposed to disclose if there was a flood in your basement, but a lot of people don't give up that information. How would you find that out? With an inspector?
If you're
going to buy a home?
The inspector would look for water signs of water damage. What we do, okay, you know, an unsolicited plug for what we do. If we do your mortgage, we send PermaSeal out to do a sewer inspection, and we pay, you know, you pay for it, and then when the loan closes, we pay for it. And while that consultant there, technician, is doing the sewer inspection, they're also doing a walk around of your home to check the foundation, just doing a visual, okay? Just doing a visual, checking out downstairs while they're there to make sure everything's working. And if they see something, they'll let us know and the client know and the consumer know, hey, red flag, you might want to check this. And here's another thing I got asked yesterday. Does the buyer have a right to go into the house after the initial home inspector? And my response is, as a buyer, as a consumer, ready to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a piece of property, you have the right to call your realtor at any time to ask for another walkthrough, especially after 8 inches of rain, which
absolutely
is 6 to 8 hours.
Absolutely,
and,
you do.
And then the person that was asking me the question said, well, what if they don't? I said, well, if they don't, then you have to ask, what are they hiding?
Yeah, they're hiding something.
Okay, so, you know, if you're about ready to, I came in, you know, yesterday I was walking by the studio. I asked Mary to call in because of what happened on Wednesday night because this is valuable information that your listeners need to know and need to have. I don't, you know, if you use us, great. If you don't use us, whatever. I don't care. But if you're buying a home, well, I do care because I have to feed my family. But, you know, if you're buying a home and you've got the mortgage set up and you haven't closed yet in the greater Chicagoland area after what happened, and your rivers are flooding like we are up here, and your roads are flooding like we have here, I would get your rear end back in that house as soon as humanly possible just to do an eyeball check to make sure everything's buttoned up and there's no water.
Hawk,
but, you know, not to freak anybody out, but just as a consumer alert.
We're talking with David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage. Here's a question for you. A lot of people don't have flood insurance. I mean, just normal people don't have flood insurance. If your basement floods, that's out-of-pocket cost, right?
Well, yeah. Well, here, there's a couple of different flood insurances that you have to understand. There's the FEMA flood insurance that if you're in a flood plain, you have to have flood insurance.
Right.
Okay? And the Army Corps of Engineers determine what the flood plain is. Now, the flood plain moves. Okay? We had a borrower who FEMA had in a flood plain. We went, they vehemently said, no way. They went to the city hall or the county or the township, whatever it was, and got proof that it wasn't. We submitted that to the Army Corps of Engineers, and we got the flood insurance change. So flood insurance from a river or a tributary or whatever you want to call it, a pond, is one type of flood insurance. If your house is close to that and that spills into your house, you need to have flood insurance if you're in the floodplain, or else
right.
You're not going to get a mortgage.
What about people not in the floodplain?
Okay, now that's a different. Now that's backup insurance that I would call Jimmy Towns at Allstate, who's my guy, and I've got flood insurance in my house for whatever reason. Right, I had a sump pump go because I had a rubber gasket that after 15 years, for whatever reason, the geniuses put a rubber gasket on my sump pump. You know, rubber doesn't wear away, does it? So, long story short, I had a mold farm growing in my closet that housed the sump pump. Called JC Restoration out there, had them remediate the basement, had PermaSeal come in, put the sump pump in. I'm completely buttoned up now. I had insurance for my basement that covered that.
Yes, you have to add that on to your insurance, your homeowners. And by the way, it's super cheap. It's like $100 a year.
Listen, I got a $10,000 check for all the Michigas I had down there. Okay,
right.
I had a tent with JC. Right, humidifiers, dehumidifiers. I got to replace the carpet. I mean, it was like a tent city down there. But now everything's gone. Everything's buttoned up. I got a closet housing my brand new PermaSeal.
I got a closet
pump. I'm all good. I got but here, check with your insurance agent. You've got to make sure, you know, there's sewer backup protection. I'm not an insurance agent, Pete, as you know that. I don't play one on the radio, but
You need to have these conversations.
You gotta get an
insurance agent.
Talk to them because it's not in your homeowners. Where can they find you?
No. You can find me, you know, pretty much anywhere. You can go to WGNDavid.com. I'm staying at your house this weekend if you want to stop by. You could also call me at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 312-751-1333. Also on WGN Plus, there's podcasts of interviews with WGN listeners that we've helped overcome financial and credit challenges to achieve a refinance or their goal of home ownership.
All right. David Hochberg. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, bud. Talk to you later.
All right. Hawk has a lot of energy, doesn't he?
It got good information, though.
When I was in grammar school, my grandmother's basement flooded. The sewer backed up and went into her basement, and she did not have flood insurance because she wasn't in a floodplain. So I processed that, put it in the back of my head, and when I bought a house, I remembered that. I got flood insurance, and guess what?
You flooded.
My basement flooded. And I had the flood insurance, which costs, I'm not kidding, it's like $100, $125 a year for $10,000 in damage that's going to happen if you flood your basement.
And where you live, it doesn't seem like that's supposed to be a flooded
area. It was the sewers. The sewers flooded, and of course, it seeped in everybody's yards, and then the basement's flooded. Yeah.
So always a good idea
to
add that on.
Get flood and sewer insurance. It's not on your homeowners. I'm telling you right now, get it.
Love you puffing your chest out on your insurance
buy
here.
It's $10 a month, and if your basement floods, you're in trouble.
Yeah, but now I feel bad for all the people that are dealing with the flooded basements. What if you're renting and you live in that area?
Renter's insurance, get it. There's got to be a flood renter's insurance. There has to be.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It's terrible. I feel for those people. I saw it on the news last night, and I've been there a few times, man. It's just horrible. And it's just not your basement flooding. You got your stuff down there.
All your stuff. All your radio stuff got wet, remember?
Yeah, that's okay. Now that
upset at the time.
I was upset at the time, but not anymore. Let's take a look at traffic. Here's Susan at 6:51.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Good news is dessert is free.
Bad news is we sing off key.
Happy birthday to you!
Seven ten. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Very happy birthday to Charlie McMurray today.
Birthday.
My son is 12.
I can't believe Charlie McMurray is 12 already.
I can't believe it. 12 years old.
And your wife's birthday was yesterday.
Yeah. I got back-to-back birthdays, man.
And my birthday was a couple weeks ago.
I'm after
Thanks
the show,
the gift.
I pick up Charlie McMurray from basketball camp, and we go see Spider-Man. Anybody want to go?
I was going to ask you how his hoop game's coming along.
Not bad. He's had basketball camp at DePaul Prep High School. Coach Kleinschmidt.
I mean, now's the time. At 12, there is generally no time to waste. You better be dialing it in.
He's a tall kid.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah?
He is a tall kid. He's got a nice shot. Also celebrating their 101st birthday is Navy Pier. How about that, man? On the phone with us is Steve Abram. Steve, first of all, happy birthday.
Thank you. We look pretty good for 101, huh?
I do.
I've been to Navy Pier twice this summer. I'm going to go back for the Goombay Bash the last Saturday in July. I got to tell you, man, you guys have transformed that place the last few years. It looks great.
Right. Thank you. We are so proud of it. You know, through a leadership and visionary gift from the Polk Brothers Foundation and the board of Navy Pier and the people of Chicago, you know, we looked back in the first 100 years and Daniel Burnham's original vision of Navy Pier being the people's pier, a place where, you know, it's Chicago's town square. It's a place where the sky and the lake and the land all come together. There's nothing else like it. And, you know, back in the day, you know, it was a promenade. It has a long history of jazz music in that gorgeous ballroom in the far east end. The largest pier in the world, 3/4 mile long, and trust me, those of us that spend a lot of time there know that. And we really thought, gosh, we're right in the middle of Chicago's unbelievable cultural lakefront that is nestled between, you know, the zoo and the Notabart Museum and the museum campus, and we're right in the middle, and we really are striving to serve to be Chicago's mission-driven cultural district and to feature all the huge amount of arsenal of Chicago artists. And we really have spent a lot of time and a lot of money with the physical transformation and now are really presenting, programmatic visionary transformation. So we're really, really thrilled.
Well, Jane and I both went out there for the Rolling Stones exhibitionism. And Jane, you were just there?
I was just there last Friday afternoon to see it. And amazing.
Isn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
It's over, though, at the end of the month. Is that right?
Yeah, we have. We were just thinking about it last night. We have you have three more full weekends to see it, and of course it runs during the week. It's all the time, but it closes on July 30th.
But it's a must see.
And it really is quite extensive and really well done. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I can't tell people enough. You need to get out there if you're a fan of music, just not the Rolling Stones.
Right.
They have all their costumes over the years.
And there's a lot of Chicago history involved in it as well.
Chess Records, how they used to come back here all the time and record in the recording studio, and they have their first apartment there. It's just wonderful.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and in fact, you know, Navy Pier's history, I mean, with it being certainly the municipal pier, those of us of a certain age remember, you know, Chicago Fest that used to happen there, which was a series of concerts. I'm sure, you know, and I'm really sure that the Rolling Stones must have performed there or been there at some point. I mean, it is... It's got a tremendous history, but absolutely, exhibitionism is really, really exciting, and people are really enjoying it. So
the beer garden at the end of the pier is the best view in the city.
Hands down.
There is nothing better than staring at your city on the lake with a beer in your hand, and you have a 360 view of everything.
Exactly. It is just unparalleled. And I think it's one of Chicago's sort of best kept secrets. People don't even realize it's there. And the thing about Navy Pier, and in particular, we're calling our series in the beer garden Live on the Lake because it is free live music. I think it's five nights a week. We have Wednesday nights. We are partnering with Buddy Guy's Legends and doing Hump Day Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday night, we do a great series that we're calling Pier Dance, which is a different genre of music each week. Last night, we featured Hugo Domingo, an unbelievable Latin fusion band, which is preceded with an hour of free dance instruction to the type of music that is featured that night.
Fantastic.
We've done stepping, disco, samba. We have go-go music next week and so on. Friday nights and Saturday nights are kind of, you know, top popular bands. And Sunday nights we feature a partnership with the Old Town School of Folk Music. So, and it's free. And you can sit there on these unbelievable, you know, tables and look out at the view and hear live music. And it's just mesmerizing.
Steve, I had a first date on the pier a while back, which I thought was an aggressive move.
What?
And it was
your first date was at the pier? Yeah, I like it, though.
It was a Wednesday night. The fireworks are going. And she complained that somebody was sitting right in front of her, so she couldn't see the fireworks. So I'm wondering, I know you're the artistic director, and this could be a little bit over your pay grade, but what's your advice if somebody can't see the fireworks on the pier? I mean,
just move. Well, there's seats everywhere now.
How can people not see fireworks? You just have to look straight up.
Yes, tilt your head up. I hope you didn't go out with her the second time.
We dated for 3 years.
How long have you been married?
We didn't get that far.
Steve, I do want to mention, that's one of the things that you guys have done in the renovation, is there's seating everywhere out there. And, you know, you have, you can walk down, you have Harry Carey's, you got Margaritaville, you have the cheeseburger place right down the stairs. I can't think of it.
And DMK?
Yeah, DMK
in
there.
Oh, no, you have
M-Shack? Is M-Shack in there?
Yeah.
M-Shake?
Yes. I mean, you could just walk down the pier.
Get a boozy shake? That's great.
It's wonderful. And plus, of course, the fireworks.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Navy Pier is, and, you know, I know it's 7:10 in the morning, but it's 5 o'clock somewhere. You know, it is one of the only areas where you can actually have a cocktail. You can have a beer. You can have, you know, a cocktail. You can get something from Margaritaville and carry it in a red Solo cup and be outside and enjoy a cocktail sitting outside. We've installed
the Billy Goat. That's what I couldn't think of.
Benches and lounge chairs. And actually, believe it or not, before last year, there was nothing green on the pier. We've installed trees and planters and really have celebrated the environment. It's just, it's a lovely place. It's a stroll. It's a promenade. There's so much to do, of course, with the new Centennial Wheel and with Pier Park and with all of the free programming, which is really, I think, one of the most exciting things. And believe it or not, tomorrow, July 15th, marks the 101st birthday of Navy Pier. July 15th, 1916, was when the pier opened.
Wow.
During the World's Fair and the White City and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, we enter our 101st year with a day of celebration that kicks off at 11 a.m., like I mentioned earlier, Polk Brothers Foundation was visionary enough to provide a leadership gift that really kind of seeded the transformation. And tomorrow we officially open the extension of Polk Brothers Park. And that opened last year, the first sort of half of it, if you will, opened in the west end of the pier, and the west end being the very front of the pier, which is where that interactive fountain is. And we have lots of green space. And, you know, the fountain is like the fountain at Millennium Park where, you know, kids and adults play in the fountain and it is programmed and has LED lights and all that.
It's great.
It's really great. And
it is.
It's great to watch. And just south of that, that has been sort of sectioned off with blue construction fences for the better part of the year, opens tomorrow. And what we've done, and you think that the beer garden or that Live on the Lake has the best views of the city, we've installed two new huge performance stages. One is called the Lake Stage and one is called the City Stage. And like sort of Ravinia or in the spirit of Millennium Park where there's lawn seating, the Lake Stage is about 35 feet by 20 feet, a good size, full lighting, full sound, with its background is the Ferris wheel and the lake. So you're sitting on the lawn facing this big stage, and behind it is just Chicago's lakefront with Millennium Pier.
I mean, it's really a showpiece, and it's been so fun to see it develop over the years and into the destination that it is today and tomorrow in this big celebration. I do have to say, I was watching the movie About last night earlier this week, and there's an amazing, in the background, is they were, I don't know, on the lakefront, but you could see Navy Pier, and I'm like, whoa, look at Navy Pier. It doesn't even look anything like it looks today. So that was in the early 80s. And just having seen that, just a couple of days ago,
to what it
is today. I know, great movie. But the pier is just come so far in the last, you know, 30 years.
If people haven't seen it, they need to check it out. You can go to NavyPier.com for all the information. Steve, have a great weekend, man, and happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow.
All right, Steve Abrams from Navy Pier. I'm telling you, I've been there twice this summer. We have the Goombay Bash. I'm hosting with Dave Eigenberg from Chicago Fire at the end of the month.
A great place to hold an event. That event space is beautiful.
It's fun, man.
Mm-hmm.
The Goombay Bash?
Goombay Bash. It's a cancer fundraiser.
Wow.
Yeah.
And a fun party.
It is a fun party. Instead of wearing a tuxedo, they encourage people to wear a Hawaiian shirt and shorts, which is my style. It's 7:21. Let's take a look at traffic here, Susan.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
It is 7:25. Before we bring in Elise Glink, my wife is from Wisconsin, so I've been up to Wisconsin probably three times. I'm going to Lake Geneva tomorrow for the day.
I love Wisconsin.
If anyone's headed up to Wisconsin, we have a pair of, actually, we have a four-pack of tickets and a parking pass to the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. That happens the 24th through the 30th this month. You can enjoy the world's greatest aviation celebration, including daily afternoon air shows. For more information, you can get tickets at EAA.org/AirVenture. We'll do caller number 7 right now, 312-981-7200. But if you're not headed up to Wisconsin, you're not going to use the tickets, give them to somebody else. Oshkosh, Wisconsin, July 24th through the 30th.
Get the overalls.
At
right?
Oshkosh. Yeah. You think overalls or painter pants, right?
Come on, you got to do
it. You got to wear them. I love it.
It's the move.
Let's welcome in our regular contributor of the show, CEO of Best Money Moves, Elise Glink, for our weekly check-in. Her website is thinkglink.com. Elise, what's happening?
Hey, well, there's a new rule from the CFPB that might help until Congress rescinds it. But anyway, it's all good.
Well, what is this? How is it going to help us?
So it's interesting. In 2012, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau started looking at how companies force consumers like us to use arbitration instead of suing them when they do something wrong. And if you look in the very fine print of your credit cards and some of your other financial products, it says that if you've got a problem with us, I'm paraphrasing here, you've got to actually sit down with arbitrators and they'll determine what happens. You can't sue us. And I think, first of all, most people don't even realize that's the case. And secondly, it can be a real problem because when you do want to take some action, arbitration is long and difficult, and usually consumers lose.
How about that? So this is finally going to help us out. This is for the person like me.
Well, it's for everybody, really. And so what happened was the CFPB started looking into this in 2012, and they announced a final version of the rule Monday this week that would ban companies from using that kind of language, that mandatory arbitration clause that prohibits consumers from bringing the class action suits. And so it's just applying right now to institutions that sell financial products, and that would include bank accounts and credit cards and, I believe, also insurance. So already Tom Cotton, who's a Republican from Arkansas, said this week that he's going to start using the Congressional Review Act to rescind the rule because, and I'm quoting him here, the last thing Americans need is more anti-business regulation that will prompt frivolous lawsuits while hurting consumers, end quote.
I love how you dumb things down for me. I appreciate that.
For you, for me, yes. For everybody else.
When you fill in here, I love it. Seriously. You dumb it down so we all can understand it. Hey, this is going to help you. Listen up.
What I want is for Congress to focus on the big picture things and start remembering that they're there representing all of us who put them there. I get concerned when they start attacking rules like this because the CFPB is the one that really has forced Wells Fargo, for example, with the 2-3 million fake accounts that were created. They're the ones who have forced them to come back and pay a big fine and get rid of all that stuff on people's credit reports. And that's actually a good thing. The CFPB has done some very, very good work over the years, and we should be thankful for them.
Fantastic. ThinkLink.com. Excuse me. ThinkLink.com is our website, Elise Glink. Great to talk to you. Have a good weekend, okay?
You too, Pete. See ya.
All right. It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm thinking, is this a first? It's 741. There's no original members of the morning show on air. We have the people behind the scenes like Mike and Mary that are doing everything.
Boy, do I feel bad for them. I'm sorry, guys.
Mike's looking at me like, you fill in all the time. What are you doing? You're an idiot. Thank you, Mike. I love you for that. Nice. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, Mark Carman's here. Steve and the crew back on Monday, happening this weekend. This Saturday, tomorrow, a record 100 Chicagoland new car dealers will host barbecues for the troops with all the fundraising going to USO Illinois. On the phone with us is John Hennessy from the Chicago Automotive Automobile Trade Association. That's a mouthful right there. John, I was at Ray and Raymond last year for this event. It's wonderful.
Thank you, Pete, for having us on. We love doing this. Fifth annual. We've raised over $500,000 for the USO of Illinois. It sounds like I just heard your weather forecast. It sounds like we're going to have great weather, and we're looking for a big turnout at our 100 dealers.
Well, explain to people, you just show up at one of these dealers. It's a barbecue. You can bring the family. There's games there. I mean, it's everything. It's
live
like a
music.
Fair. Yes.
It is. It started, again, 5 years ago with just 35 dealers throwing some burgers on a grill. And as car dealers do, it's just kind of grown from there. So it is. Bring the family out. If you got a little bit of pocket change, you throw that in the coffee can. You know, grab a burger, a taco, what everybody's cooking at their dealerships. We have dunk tanks going. We have pie throwing contests. We have bag games. We have raffles. We're giving away TVs, tires, anything we can to get more money over to the USO.
And John, are you going to be in one of the dunk tanks?
You know, Jane, I will not be in a dunk tank, but I will be. My head will be into a. a carved out salesperson's body and you could throw a pie at me for a donation.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. I like that, man. That's good.
And all the
yeah,
donations.
We raised a few dollars doing that. I was surprised by how many people want to throw a pie at an owner. I just don't understand.
And the money goes to the USO of Illinois.
Pardon me?
The donations go to USO of Illinois. And one of the things, I'm on the drivechicago.com site right now looking at the 100 dealers down here or dealerships that you could go to. The coincidence here is I am car shopping with my sister on Saturday.
Oh, interesting.
I know.
Wow.
Uh-huh. So
That's fantastic.
I looked online right away to say, can we go to one of the parties? Because I don't know. I mean, I'm going to have to hit the car shopping, too, but I might as well hit a party while I'm out there.
Well, 100 locations, John, all over Chicagoland, right?
Absolutely. All over Chicagoland. Every make, every manufacturer is represented by the dealers on our board and the participating dealers. So, and they're all going to be excited to see people come out and to help us raise a little bit of money. And you know what? We're going to be raising money all throughout the year, so or all throughout the month of July. So if you just happen to miss us this Saturday, come on out Monday, Tuesday, grab an oil change. You know, if you got a little spare change left, again, throw that in a coffee can. And we're just going to keep adding to the totals.
I love the guys over at Ray and Raymond Chevy. And when we did this last year, I'm telling you, the entire town showed up in Fox Lake. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was packed.
Well, you got to remember, you know, we represent our communities very well. We have employees that live in the community. We support the baseball teams. We do a lot with them, so we're very close, very bonded with them, and it becomes like a family event for everyone. And Ray Scarpelli, as you know, he's our chairman of the board of the CATA this year.
Right.
He's done a great job spreading the word, too. So we're looking for big things from everybody.
John, how did this come up 5 years ago?
You know what? Dave Sloan, president of our association, got a phone call from Rob Patter, one of our dealers, and he happened to be on the USO board and mentioned, hey, you know what? We're doing this barbecue thing. You think other dealers would like to participate? They brought it to the board, and it just kind of took off from there. I mean, who doesn't in the summer love the barbecue? I don't care if you're with your family, if you're at a car dealership. People love the smell of a barbecue, and you know people enjoy eating in the summer. So it's two great combinations.
Nice. And we have Allison Rubel on the phone with us from USO. Allison, how are you?
Yes. Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, can you tell everybody, first of all, explain USO of Illinois, what it is?
Absolutely. So USO stands for United Service Organization. And here in Illinois, we support over 318,000 active duty Guard and Reserve military and military families every year. And our mission is to connect them to the things that they love and need the most, family, home, and country, whether they're deploying, whether they're here at home, training to deploy overseas. We support their families, and we do that through programs in the community, but also through five centers. So you may have passed through an airport and you hear the USO announcement. We have five USO centers, and we just make sure our military know that you know, our American public really supports them. It's very important.
And John, the money that you're raising tomorrow and all month in the month of July goes to the USO here in the state of Illinois.
That is correct. 100% of our proceeds go right to the USO of Illinois.
Fantastic. All right.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't be doing what we're doing selling cars if it wasn't for all those great people overseas protecting our interests. So this is such a small portion of the little thing we can do, but again, it's everybody wants to try to help, and this is a great avenue for us to do it.
If you're out and about on Saturday, 100 locations here in Chicagoland, go to drivechicago.com, stop by, have some barbecue, maybe donate some money and help out the USO of Illinois.
Barbecue for the troops.
I love that. Allison, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you. All right.
John, always good to talk to you, man.
Hey, thank you very much, Pete. I really appreciate it. And, you know, there's one other thing. If we have a social media event drive where you can actually have Real Urban Barbecue come out and host a veteran at their house. Just go to hashtag barbecue for troops, sign up, and enter somebody you know that's in the military, and they can win a free barbecue and have a great time.
That's awesome. DriveChicago.com is the website. John Hennessy. Thank you, John.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
right,
John.
Have fun this weekend. I'm telling you, it's a great event. I was there the last few years. at Ray and Raymond, and it these guys just these men and women just do it right.
But you think about this when you really when you go to drivechicago.com and you click on the banner that says barbecue for the troops, you can see these 100 locations of where the dealerships are. I mean,
it's fun.
Countryside, Crystal Lake, Naperville, Orland Park, Oswego, Palatine. You want to go, you will find a place to go that's near you.
So if you're out and about tomorrow, stop by, maybe donate some money, have some barbecue, and help out. DriveChicago.com is the website. Let's take a look at traffic at 7:48. Here's Susan. I want to thank Magnum PI for bringing the hairy chest back in the 80s. Got some great news. Carm, do you have a lot of hair on your chest?
A little more than I would like, and I'm getting the grays there. It's going downhill here, Pete.
Women find hairy dudes much sexier than men without hair on their chest.
I don't know if that's true.
Where do you get that info from?
It's a study from ASAP Science, Jane. Women are really into hairy dudes. They like the snuggle. It keeps them warm. It tickles their back.
I'm a woman. And a woman wrote the article, correct?
Yeah.
So I read the article, and I thought to myself, ew, I look like a hairy man. And then I was looking at some of the pictures she posted. I said, well, as a matter of fact, I actually do appreciate a man with a little hair on his chest.
Magnum P.I.
Well,
with the mustache and the hairy chest.
One name, two words, Hugh Jackman. And the
Hugh Jackman, another
swoon.
Guy.
Yes.
So are we saying yes to trimming or no to trimming?
I say over-grooming too much is
bad.
Well,
what is too much?
Over-grooming is, I would say, what is it, the 40-year-old virgin when you rip it all off?
Okay.
A little bit, I think, is nice, just like she wrote in the article.
Now, tomorrow, I'll be at the pool. So on Monday, I took a one guard to my chest. So it looks natural,
do.
But short.
But what about when you have the hair on your shoulders, Pete?
No, I got that taken care of years ago. Come on now.
What about the back hair? Is that supposed to be ripped off?
Yeah, no. you gotta take that off.
No, that's my sister's ex-husband used to get his back hair waxed, and I think that's so lame.
Get that back hair off. You don't want to be that guy at the pool.
But then it's so aggressive. You got to go in there.
You got to take care of it.
Then it grows back.
You got to take care of it.
No, you get it lasered off, so it doesn't grow back.
Pete said he took his chest hair down to
one guard.
It looks natural.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Chest hair doesn't grow to a little short stub.
I'm Lebanese.
Natural.
I'll grow a mustache by the end of the show
Pete
today.
He is wearing a sweater that you can't see underneath
right.
his shirt.
It's a cardigan sweater that needs to be trimmed up. That's what I'm saying. That's why on Monday I trimmed it up so Saturday it looks good.
Does it itch?
That's
no,
so much
it doesn't
planning.
Itch. But you got to keep going. If you let it grow out, it'll start itching. Yeah.
It's so like a rug.
How often do you do it?
Well, if I'm taking off my shirt, I'm on a 5-day out to cut. So 5 days out, I cut.
Oh, my goodness. See, that's a lot of, you take a lot of planning into your life.
Do you schedule this? Is this like on the calendar?
Absolutely.
Where do you
put the alarm on my phone? Right over the toilet, man. Just zip it.
Right over the toilet?
Yeah, it falls right in the toilet. You flush the toilet, you walk out of the room.
Do it on the bathroom rug, then it just turns into its own little stepping mat. There's so much.
You can't do that. Shake it out.
Do you not like the feeling of the hair, or you think it looks bad?
I think it looks bad. Yeah, you got to trim it up.
I think trim is okay.
Does Pat? Pat doesn't trim?
No.
Really?
He's
I need
not
to have
that
a talk
hairy.
With him. Well, I got to talk with him.
No,
we
know, he's not that hairy.
Now we know the hairiness of Pat Boyle.
What do you got?
I don't think he
what
has
do you got
hair
under
his
that
back.
Shirt?
Rip it off right now? Is that what we're going with?
You know what? Now that I think about it, I know he's not hairy on his back because he likes his back tickled nonstop, and I tickle it and there's no
wait
hair.
Wait a second. Wow. Do I need to?
He loves his back tickled.
Hold on. Who doesn't?
So if anybody is near him right now, let's start tickling his back.
No one else should touch his back. That's just for me, but he really likes his back tickled.
If you're Italian, Mediterranean, Lebanese, whatever.
He's Irish.
Yeah, he has no hair on his body.
So the one of the reasons that she cites in this article about why women like hairy men is because back in the caveman days when men were hairy, the parasites would stay away from them because the parasites wouldn't want to get all entwined in all that hair. Mm,
so they'd snuggle.
So women knew that they were clean.
Yeah.
But if you were, you know, clean shaven all the time, the parasites would get into your skin, and so women didn't want to be with you because you were full of parasites.
There you have it.
So Pete is diseased because he's shaving that that
I'm not
hair
shaving, I'm trimming.
Trimming.
So I still have the hair, so I'm not diseased.
Because you've got a little bit of the hair.
Right.
You've got a lot going on because he's got the trimming, you've got the lasering, you've got the shaving. I mean, that's a lot of grooming.
Is your back completely
like a baby's bottom? I lasered it for years, traded out commercials. Absolutely.
How long did that take? Of course. So now you don't need it to do it ever.
They always say it takes 3 treatments. It takes much more 8 if you're a hairy guy like me. Mm-hmm. Like 8-9 years.
Do you think that has any long-term health repercussions?
No, not at all. It's fine. Everything's good.
It's topical.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Can I go back to back tickling? Yeah. What does that entail? Is that scratching?
Wait
Is that a
second.
Fancy
Let
word
Let me put
for...
my hand over the buzzer here.
Mary's shaking.
No, it's a light. There's a little bit of scratching, but it's a light.
So it's like a rub.
Dragging my fingers around, and I do these like circular patterns, almost like angel wings kind of. Out.
Now it's getting uncomfortable.
I'm really
in
good.
Here.
I'm really good at back tickling. Mm. You could also ask my stepson because he likes his arms and back tickled
just,
as well.
Just don't go to the ear. It's really
no.
Irritating.
I don't do
ear
the
tickling?
Ear.
Yeah.
It's a bad look.
I don't do the ear. I tickle Pat's back every morning when I leave for work because he rolls over because he's awake and he says goodbye to me, and I tickle his back for a minute and then I leave.
That's amazing.
I just wanted it to sit there for a second. Just.
I'm taking notes on how to back tickle.
Back tickling by Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet.
I mean, that means you really love back tickling. If you right. want it at 4 in the morning yeah. whenever Mary leaves.
Uh-huh. Here you go, hon. Just tickle my back before.
Yep.
All right. Basically. That's nice. All right. Thank you for that, Mayor. Okay. It's 7:57 at 720 WGN.
Oh, this is awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
It is 8:09 Friday, trying to get a hold of Dean Richards, who's at the WGN TV block party in Park Ridge. I noticed that this morning on TV, they're all wearing checkered shirts.
Well, it's a block party.
Dean's wearing, I think, black with a...
cool hat.
What kind of hat? Like it's not a fedora. No. What do you call the shorty hats?
It's a studly Dean hat that only Dean could wear.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. As we wait for Dean, did you guys see the Emmy nominations
I sure
yesterday?
Did. This is exciting. So the Emmys are September 17th?
Okay, on CBS.
On CBS, yeah.
Colbert is hosting.
Yeah.
Outstanding drama, House of Cards on Netflix.
You love House of Cards.
God, I love it. I'm all caught up except for the finale of the last season. What is it, season six?
Yeah. I have a lot of catching up. I haven't watched any of it.
Never seen it.
You've
Sorry.
Never seen House of Cards?
Nope.
Do you have Netflix?
Yes. But I don't.
Come on, man. Well, just start.
Well,
when people say, oh, it's such a great show, you need to watch it. But it's 6 years and it's so overwhelming that.
Right.
You know,
you
think to yourself,
either.
I don't want to put the time in.
I just started The Wire. That was like 2000.
The Wire. I never watched The Wire, but that was years ago.
Yeah, it was years ago. But everyone says it's like the greatest show ever.
All right.
I'm just finishing up on Breaking Bad, so.
On the phone with us from the block party live in Park Ridge, it's Dean Richards. Dean, we love your hat. What do you call that hat?
Is The Wire better than the WGN Morning News live in downtown Park Ridge? I don't think so.
Uh-uh.
We're watching.
We have you on. Well, we have you
we're
on in the studio.
I'm sorry. We're having a block party, and... I cannot even believe all the people that came out here in downtown Park Ridge today for all of this. We've got inflatables, and we're having a parade at 9 o'clock. And it's crazy out here. Crazy.
I noticed that you're wearing black with what kind of hat? How do you describe that hat?
I would call it a fedora. I would call it like a... You know, like a hipster fedora, like all the hipsters wear.
Okay.
So this is, you know, my attempt to... You know, try to look like I live in Wicker Park.
You nailed it. You nailed that look. Right? You just need a beard.
Yeah, that's the look. Exactly. Exactly. I just need a beard to complete the look. But, you know, it protects my bald head. So it's all about protection as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Not only for your bald head, but also from all the fans that are out there at the block party. Dean, it looks like a lot of fun. We've been watching it on TV all morning long. A lot of people out there, a lot of things to do. How many years is this for the block party?
For our morning show block party, this is just our second year of doing this. We did it just like a neighborhood block party that was literally one block a viewer invited us to come to their block party, and we brought the whole show out there last year. And this year, we set this up. It's kind of in coordination with Taste of Park Ridge that starts at 11 o'clock this morning, and it's going to go on all day today and all day tomorrow. So they've got a whole, you know, festival that's coming up here in Park Ridge for the weekend. But it's in full swing this morning. It's ridiculous. We have this big parade that's going to start at 9 o'clock with one Mr. Tom Skilling as the Grand Marshal.
Oh!
Yeah, we brought out the big guns for this this morning.
I like this. And by the way, if people haven't seen Paul Conrad on TV, he looks exactly like Zach Brown with the beard, the hat, the
right.
flannel shirt. He's got the Zach Brown thing going on.
He is definitely looking very Zach Brown slash Grizzly Adams. Kind of looked at it.
But can he sing is the question.
No, he can't sing. I've heard Paul. He can't sing. Dean, let's talk about the Emmy nominations. I was looking at the Outstanding Comedy Series, and I just realized that I'm not really watching comedies right now. I don't know why. It's all drama.
The really? Are you not watching shows like Blackish and Modern Family? I don't have the list here in front of me of what was nominated yesterday, but... you know, this was a good year for conventional network TV, regular TV. Usually it's all cable and online shows. But this year, you know, regular TV also made its mark with the Emmy nominations. In fact, Saturday Night Live tied with Westworld for the most nominations of any TV show this year at all. 22 nominations for Westworld and SNL. Both, and SNL, you know, coming off of its, you know, season with Alec Baldwin
right.
as President mm-hmm. Trump and Melissa McCarthy as Sean Spicer, mm-hmm. And, you know, what a lot of people agree was one of the better years for SNL. It was the most nominations that SNL has ever received.
Well, Alec Baldwin, he didn't get nominated individually, but of course SNL got nominated. But what category would he have been in if he would have been nominated?
Probably, you know, they have a best guest performance.
Oh, okay.
On a program category. I think he probably would have been in that since he really wasn't a series regular this year. Same with Melissa McCarthy. You know, there are, you know, several appearances that they did, but still not series regulars and not really supporting performance. So they have those categories for guest performances that they do.
Would you say the biggest snub would be Jimmy Fallon
yes.
and The Tonight Show not being nominated?
I'd say that's one of the snubs. I actually happen to agree with that. While everybody else is doing a really smart, topical comedy, you know, he's playing beer pong with people and, you know, still playing his games. And I think that, you know, people just are a little bit tired of that, including the Emmy voters who determine the nomination. So, yeah, when Colbert gets nominated and Jimmy Kimmel and John Oliver and Samantha Bee and Bill Maher all doing, you know, really biting political satire, and Jimmy Fallon is, you know, gushing over guests and, you know, playing beer pong with people, it's not too much of a surprise. Really, I thought one of the bigger snubs was the series Transparent not getting nominated. It has and actually has won
right.
several awards for the past several years for best series. And for the first time in 3 years, did not get nominated at all. Jeffrey Tambor did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're just I think just a lot of really, really good shows this year to account for that.
Where's the love for Lena Dunham, Dean? I know you're a huge fan of girls. We've discussed this, tongue in cheek.
I didn't hear what your question was.
Lena Dunham got snubbed from Girls. She did not get a nomination in her final year.
Yeah, I don't think that was really a heavy favorite for Emmy consideration this year.
That's my show, Dean.
That's been a pretty polarizing show this year. Are you a big fan of Girls?
I love Girls. Come on.
Okay. All right.
Girls was great until season three with a lot of these shows.
You lost me too after season
yes.
three.
Dean, hold on a line. We're going to check traffic and then we'll come back and we'll talk movies, okay?
Okay.
calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh. Top man, pro and steady. Tune him in cause he's always ready. East Coast to the West Coast. He is a critic I trust the most. Do I like him? Yes, I suppose so. I saw the show on the show called Bozo. Garfield Goose.
It is 8:20. I watch it every year. Dean Richards is on TV right now, so we have to wait a second before we check in with Dean.
Doing a big interview.
By the way,
how fun is that?
Alec Baldwin was nominated. Thank you, 630 area code. Outstanding supporting actor in a comedy series. He was nominated. Alec Baldwin.
Did you say he wasn't nominated?
I did.
Yeah. But the list is long, Pete. You can't memorize it all.
Alec Baldwin, Louis Anderson, Ty Burrell from Modern Family, and a few other people.
Did Alec call to complain?
I'm sure he loves it.
He was the one that was texting.
Yeah, you're right.
No, that
I'm
was
sorry.
Me.
It took me a second to get that. he should be nominated. He's great on SNL, and he's coming back next season.
The man's a legend.
God, he's so good, but he's got such a temper.
In real life.
Yeah.
You will not forgive him for being upset with his daughter.
No.
Or any of his other transgressions.
He called his daughter a pig. I can't get past that.
You will
I'm
never,
sorry.
Ever get
no
over
No matter
that.
How angry you are, you never call your kid a pig.
You don't, but I think they made up.
I understand that, but I can't get past that's a character flaw in my book.
But you do like him on the show.
I do. I appreciate his acting. Glengarry Glen Ross.
Phenomenal.
Such a great movie.
Yep. He's been in, he's been great in a ton of movies.
Malice as the doctor with the speech. He's got two great speeches in movies. He's got Malice where he does the God speech, and Glengarry Glen Ross, Coffee is for Closers.
The Departed.
Oh, The Departed,
but
too.
The thing about him, too, is he does the serious work, but he's so good at comedy.
Yeah. 30 Rock with Tina Fey.
Right.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I'm with you on The Daughter, by the way. That's unacceptable.
By the way, This Is Us. Are you guys fans? 11 nominations. I love that show.
But there's
How
a snub
no one,
in there.
Everybody I talk to, no one likes this show. Am I the only person?
I didn't watch it from the beginning. I didn't get into it. I tried to watch, so now I'm late to the game.
It's 13 episodes or whatever. 15. You can catch up. They're showing reruns right now.
Mandy Moore didn't get nominated.
Okay. I'm all right with that.
They say that's a snub.
It's a great song with Mark Knopfler and Emmylou Harris as a duet. This Is Us. I'd never seen the show. But I did want to just...
Wait, Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits does the theme song?
No. He does his own song, though, called This Is Us with him and Emmylou Harris. I'm throwing you a lot of curveballs right now, Pete. My bad.
All right. Let's stay on track here.
My bad.
Let's see here. House of Cards got nominated. Better Call Saul. Anybody fans of that show?
I'm still finishing up Breaking Bad, so I don't feel like I can watch that show yet.
You can.
I can.
It goes hand in hand.
Because I know Saul already.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm excited about The Crown. Did anyone watch The Crown on Netflix?
I've never watched The Crown.
It
I know you keep
so
telling me to watch it. I'm
good.
I can't get past the period piece thing.
Well, once you get into it, I would say the first 10 minutes of the first episode is like, oh, and then all of a sudden you're hooked. You're in, and it's so great. I cannot wait for it to come back.
What year is it?
It starts when Queen Elizabeth becomes queen, when her father dies. So it's a long time ago.
Fargo, it's a long time ago. Remember that time when you thought? Fargo on FX. Any fans? Does anybody watch cable here besides me?
I love Fargo.
I watch Netflix.
Fargo on FX is incredible.
First two seasons, off the charts, fantastic. This season, it was okay until the last three episodes. Sandberg, do you watch Fargo?
No, I don't watch that. And I have a question. If these things get an Emmy, will that make you start watching it? Something that you weren't watching originally?
Yeah, for me it would. Because I'm late to the party and then I'm like, oh, I should watch this. Pete.
You know what? Veep is on my list. I'm late to that party because it keeps winning. Yeah. And it's got to be good if it keeps winning.
If it hasn't swayed you in 7 years of winning, you think you're going to start now?
If I'm, surfing the channels and I see Veep, I may stop.
But it's also overwhelming because there's so much to watch.
Yeah, you're not going to go back and watch
it. I'm so
overcommitted. Transparent, I'd love to see that. Yeah, I don't know when you guys have time to watch all this TV.
I try to work it in. I cheat on my wife, too, when it comes to television.
What does that mean?
This Is Us. It's called television infidelity. Mm. If you're married, which you aren't, Mary, do you watch shows with Pat?
We watch shows,
You have to watch the shows
together.
He
doesn't, because I go to bed earlier, he'll wait. He'll hold a show.
To wait for you.
Yeah.
Like House of Cards. I want to watch the finale, but my wife's been out all week.
She's had a birthday week to celebrate. Right. I keep seeing on Facebook her tagged and everything.
She keeps going out.
That's the thing that makes marriages last. You don't watch shows by yourself. You wait to do it together.
Well, if it's a show you're watching on your own, that's fine. But if you're watching it together as it unfolds.
You can't get ahead.
If you watch one episode without them, and then you're like, oh, I watched it. That's not nice, because that's your time together.
You got to share, man.
It's part of the bonding.
Mm-hmm. Right. It sure is.
Like last night, we watched the 30 for 30 Mike and the Mad Dog. Special, which is amazing.
I record those. I don't know if I'm going to watch that.
How can you not watch it? You're in radio.
I know, but they bug me. They do. And they're East Coast. I'm tired of the East Coast people getting so much attention.
They started it.
I know, but it bugs me.
Your act came from Mike and the Mad Dog.
My act didn't come from anybody. It came from Betty
Ann
and Peoria.
You're definitely the Mad Dog, don't you think?
Let me tell you. Right.
I'm fired up to see Mike and the Mad Dog.
Mike watched it. He loved it, too.
I'm a big fan of the 30 for 30. I watch that on my own. I do. There was a new show on Netflix called Friends from College. Has anybody heard of this?
No.
Where the friends get together for like a reunion?
No, but I got to see
that. That's called The Big Show.
It's exactly like that, but a little hipper.
Friends from
College. It dropped yesterday. Friends from College.
You know, I get those emails from Netflix say, hey, this is one you might enjoy. And I get to my Netflix and I can never find it. But I'm the one that's searching and it doesn't come up. I'm like, they always say there's good things.
They need to work on that.
Oh.
They do.
I'm overwhelmed by the options on Netflix, so I just started rewatching Mad Men.
Oh, that's good.
You guys have your own Netflix? You don't steal from someone else's Netflix?
No, we
used
have our
to.
Own.
I finally had to get my own. Yes. So
that's an adult move right
and
there.
And I gave my brother my code, who uses it. Oh, Dave McMurray just signed in Peoria. This is nice.
Can you watch while Dave's watching?
Sure, why not?
Well, I guess you did too.
There's
Mark,
multiple people.
I mean, I've got like at least six friends that I, you know, switch around. I don't want them to catch me.
Yes.
Are we on the radio?
I used to do that.
Andrea does that with Amazon Prime. She has people ordering her stuff with their Prime accounts because she doesn't want to sign up.
I used to, too, and now they're like, get your own account. Well, I go, everything is $9.99 a month. Netflix, Amazon Prime. I got to cut it off somewhere.
But you're mooching off others.
Right.
If you were my friend and asked me to use
sharing.
My stuff.
I help you, you help me. I'll give you my code to pay.
That's
Netflix.
Something that's $9.99 a month. So I'll pay for something, you pay for something.
Are you an Amazon Prime?
Yeah, Amazon Prime. I've got Hulu. I've got Netflix. I get all these little bills. You're getting stuff from iCloud and Apple. I don't even know what I'm paying for anymore.
Hulu's too much.
My Dropbox just got canceled. What does that mean for me? They were threatening me for months.
$9.99, buddy.
Right. It's 8:27. It's 7:20 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
They have been fake news for a long time. They've been covering me in a very, very dishonest way. Do you have that also, by the way, Mr. President? But CNN and others, I mean, not others. NBC is equally as bad, despite the fact that I made them a fortune with The Apprentice, but they forgot that.
WGN 841. Let's bring in the host of Sunday Today. It's our good friend Willie Geist. And I was watching MTP the other day, and I didn't know you were hosting the show previous to that. It was like a Sunday morning handoff, Willie.
That's what I think what Chuck said. It was like a flash from our Sunday Today handoff to Meet the Press. I was in for Nicole Wallace.
That's right.
Got to pass the ball over to my buddy Chuck during the week. It was cool.
Nice. You know, people get busy during the summer, and, you know, I'm going up to Wisconsin to hang out with my wife's family. But I did get a chance to catch Kevin Plank from Under Armour. You did, when was that, about 3 weeks ago when you talked to him, your Sunday sit-down?
A couple weeks ago.
I love Under Armour. I love his attitude. I love that he's helping out his hometown. I just love the guy.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. Guys like that who are so enthusiastic and so passionate about a place that some people have kind of left for dead. Baltimore guy who insisted on building the headquarters there. He's growing the headquarters there. He's given to education. He's obviously building a successful company, but trying to bring Baltimore along for the ride. Great guy, too, just good to hang out with.
And during that story, we found out that he was an entrepreneur in college, and he thought Valentine's Day, okay, if I buy roses for $1,000, I can sell them and make $2,000.
Exactly, yeah.
That's how his mind works.
Imagine you're like a 19-year-old college kid, and you're seeing all your buddies go broke trying to buy roses. And why are roses so expensive anyway? Right. This makes no sense. And it turns out they don't have to be. You're just getting overcharged.
Right.
So he starts a rose business as a 19-year-old, completely undercuts the rose industry in College Park, Maryland, and makes a bunch of money.
Smart.
He's just got that entrepreneurial type brain. Willie, I'm loving all of the Sunday sit-downs because you just talk to such interesting people like the founders of Twitter, and you're talking to Kevin Spacey and Maren Morris. I mean, I wait for the Sunday sit-down because I know it's going to be a great interview.
Thank you. You know, I think one of the cool things about it is the range that we can have within that format where you get 7 or 8 minutes. So like you said, we can talk to music stars. We had President Bush on, but then we also had Ice Cube on, you know, a few weeks prior. We have, we've done
Zach Brown you did this summer, right?
Zach Brown, yeah. But then CEOs of Instagram and Twitter and Airbnb and Warby Parker and Under Armour, as you said. So I think to me, the bar is, do you have a compelling story to tell beyond whatever movie or album you're there to talk about? Those ones to me are interesting for a minute, but not for 7 minutes, you know? So if somebody's got a cool sort of underdog story, they had to climb to the top or a twist to whatever has happened in their life. To me, that's the bar, and that's what makes it interesting.
And by the way, I want to mention that Willie and I wear the same shoes. I think it was Kevin Plank, where you're wearing the black suede Cole Haans with the white soles.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I had to go brand neutral. I couldn't have a swoosh, for God's sakes, on my shoes.
Of course.
That's like they have assassins in towers that shoot people wearing Nikes on the Under Armour campus. So but I didn't want to wear Under Armours. You know, you don't want to fluff the guy. So I went with the no logo Cole Haan, and you caught me wearing them. But I thought it was a good way to go.
Pete was so excited.
I brought it up on the computer today.
He said, Jane, before we have Willie on, I want you to see we have the same shoes. Look how cool I am. He's like, I'm going to tell
him. Like the sneaker bottom, you know. It's comfortable, but you can wear it with a pair of jeans. It all works.
We should tell Cole Haan. Maybe that's your next interview.
So much thought goes into this.
Nice ad for Cole Haan.
You're talking to a Chicago girl on Sunday.
Well, she spent some time in Chicago. She's a St. Louis girl, Carly Kloss, who's a supermodel, obviously. Grew up in St. Louis. We went home with her. She grew up in a neighborhood called Webster Groves in Missouri and actually just bought a big house for her family just up the street from the one she grew up in. So we spent time with her, but her mother was there, her sisters were there, and she actually got her start in St. Louis, but also then going to Chicago a lot. You know, she was a
every weekend, right?
High school. Yeah, every weekend she'd go over to Chicago, where the best modeling gigs were in the Midwest. She started as in a charity runway show at a mall in St. Louis, got spotted by somebody, and would go up every weekend to Chicago and do modeling gigs, and then eventually it blew up into something else. But as I talked about the layers, I think just being a supermodel isn't quite enough. So she's doing this Code with Klossy program, which is teaching young girls how to get into coding and how to get into technology jobs and stuff that hasn't been an emphasis, I think, for young girls historically in schools. And so she has this camp where the kids go for free in 10 different cities.
That's
and they
great.
Learn how to code and build apps and websites. And she's interesting. You know, you always sort of feel it out whether she's just putting her name on it, but she's kind of a nerd, amazingly enough. She's a beautiful nerd, but she's kind of a nerd. She knows how to code. She's hyper interested in science, and she's in a position where she can share that with other girls across the country.
That's Midwestern roots right there. And, you know, what is she, 23, 24 years old? She's a supermodel for Victoria's Secret, and she's doing this charity work. I love that.
Yeah, no, she's cool, and she has that Midwestern core. You see it at home. She's totally about family. She travels the world, but she can't ever wait to get back to St. Louis and just be around her friends. We went back to her high school. She's still in touch with the principal who was around. She tells funny stories about being a model in high school in St. Louis, where on Monday she was at the Met Ball with Anna Wintour, and on Friday she was at her senior prom, sort of living that double life, as she called it.
It's great to be Carly Kloss, huh?
Not bad. Not bad to spend a day with her either, I have to say, in St. Louis.
Willie, you're the best. Keep up the good work, okay?
Thanks, guys. We'll see you Sunday morning.
852-720 WGN. Man, I'm so sad I missed Tom Petty at Wrigley Field. What a show.
Everybody was there.
Except us.
I can't believe you weren't there.
I had something that night. I can't remember what. Oh, it was with my wife. Did you go to Petty?
We did.
Everybody was there.
Unimpressed.
What? You're the only person that didn't like it.
I was only there because I like Chris Stapleton a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I cared about the opener.
Okay, how was Chris?
Chris was amazing. It rained also, so that's why I didn't care for it. In general, the experience.
I probably know a dozen people that went, and they said it was fantastic, even with the rain.
Well,
did you stay for the whole thing?
Almost. We stayed for most of it. I mean, he sings a lot of songs that you know, but none that I love.
And American Girl, that was his last song of the night.
Yeah, we didn't stay for that one.
That's the one you want to hear.
I know, but when you don't play it
early
in the
set. Don't do me like that. Come on, this is Tom Petty.
I don't know. Those are all like, 40 years. And I was looking around. There was a lot of young people there, like in their 20s, who their parents probably listened to Tom Petty, and that's how they know Tom Petty.
Of course.
And I was thinking, poor you, that your parents' favorite was Tom Petty.
Like, I love
Tom Petty.
I just
feel like they could do better.
We played Tom Petty at the McMurray household. How about this weekend? Anybody going to Buffett?
No.
My Crest sister skirt, is going.
Hawaiian shirt?
Do you take a bus? I have friends that take buses to Buffett.
It's at Wrigley.
It's at Wrigley,
well,
though.
You can still take a bus to Buffett.
You could take a bus.
Because they want to drink
point.
The whole way, and you got a parrot on your shoulder.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
But at least like Buffett and like Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen seems
don't
like
even
he could do
watch
a,
it.
A 10
you
hour.
You need to go to confession for that.
No, he could do a 10 hour show and seems fit. Like Tom Petty barely moved up there. Like he doesn't seem.
Well, he's probably all stoned.
Yeah.
He loves the pot.
It turns out I'm not really into stoner type stuff, so I think that might be.
Well,
that was our.
He kind of talks like this. You know, that's a sure sign right
there.
Yeah,
but Chris Stapleton was amazing. We really wanted Chris Stapleton to come back on stage with Tom Petty and jam, but they didn't bring him back out. So that also put me in a bad mood.
I've seen Buffett probably a half a dozen times. I would love to go to Wrigley. I'm in Wisconsin tomorrow, but I'd love to go to see Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis in the news.
I don't need to
think about it. You know every single song Huey sings.
They all sound the same, though.
Do you believe in love? Come on, guys.
Every Huey Lewis song sounds the same.
The heart of rock and roll is beating?
When he did I Want a New Drug came out.
Yes.
I remember, I think it was my dad's brother brought that album over on that Tuesday night to our house in like a paper. Like he bought it that day and they played it on the record player that night.
It was like 1985 or 86.
Yeah,
I
was about 9 or 10.
I saw him at the Peoria Civic Center. It was great.
Is that video where he puts his head in the ice bucket of water or the sink?
I don't
full
remember because we just had the album. It was actually the record. That's what my uncle brought over.
Back to the Future, Back in Time. You guys don't like that
I'm
too?
Not a Huey Lewis
Hip
fan.
To be square?
No.
Working for a living?
Working for a living? Come on.
It's a little cheesy.
I'd love to see Huey.
I tried
to get him on the
Buffett.
Show today. He had no time for us.
Really?
Yeah, I was a little busy.
Okay, let's talk about something else then.
Anybody going to see Lady Gaga?
I'd love to see Lady
Wrigley?
Gaga.
No.
Here's the thing. People buy tickets early on and right before the show.
They get rid of
since
them.
I live near Wrigley, they'll call me up and say, hey, do you want to buy some tickets or we have free tickets? I'm in.
After the Tom Petty, Pat and I made a pact that we are no longer just accepting all invites to go see people at Wrigley because there's always rain or it's so hot or elements that make it not fun. I want to be in a controlled environment.
No, I disagree. One of the best venues in the city is Wrigley
Absolutely.
Field.
Take me to United Center.
Billy
I'm
Joel
not wet.
At Wrigley?
So great. So fun.
And when it
Piano
rains
Man.
And then you're stuffed with people in the downstairs area and you can't move.
I saw Springsteen.
Like,
it poured the entire show. I loved it.
But have you seen a show at Wrigley and you're sitting in one of the suites and it's a rock show and everybody's up jumping around on those suites? All of a sudden, I think to myself, is this going to fall?
Yeah.
And should I go into the hallway?
Mm-hmm. I saw Jackson Browne last summer. Love Jackson Browne. James Taylor, I'm going Monday with my wife. That's her birthday gift.
It's kind of shocking that you're this willing to be out and about, and you're very particular. You got your things. And
what do you mean
like,
I have my things?
I don't know. I haven't noticed.
What does that mean?
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
He does. He's right on the money.
I have my things.
You do. And now you don't have body hair, so the viruses are coming right at you.
Right. I'll take off my shirt at James Taylor on Monday night at Wrigley Field.
You're the most...
Whenever I see your smiling face, I have to smile myself because I love you.
Come on.
But I think even if you don't like the artist, you like being at things.
I do.
So
I will absolutely
Wrigley Field
go.
Scene. Yeah. Every time we go to Wrigley Field, I have to say hi to like 25 people we know. I don't want to run into people all the time.
Well, your husband's a star.
No, people
he's
like
a television
me. No,
star.
Not just people that I don't mind people
hey,
that say,
Pat
hey,
Boyle
Pat Boyle,
from
you're
Comcast
awesome.
Sportsnet.
Well, Pete likes to go to Wrigley, and I'll tell you why, because it's close to his house.
Right.
It's not inconvenient for him to get there. It's
and
an easy thing to do.
I love live music. Who doesn't love
and
live
you love
music?
Beer. and you love Wrigley.
Yes.
So it's a perfect world for P. McMurray.
I think anything that involves a Facebook post or an Instagram picture and he could say that he's there is right up Pete's alley. Yeah.
I don't
he could be at the opening of a cell phone store. Hey.
I have a rule when it comes to concerts, two pictures you're done. Two. Because people hold their phones the entire show. They're not watching the show anymore.
Does it ever really take a good picture?
I'll pay people to take a
picture.
Why
are you recording the song? Just listen to it. Why are you recording the song? I just don't understand why people do that on their phones.
I don't know. I like that you had to put your own rule on yourself. Only two pictures.
Two pictures. Because, you
know. You could do no pictures.
Well, how many pictures did you? Well, you don't like Petty, but if you go to a concert, how many pictures are you taking?
We don't take pictures at. We barely take pictures. There's actually a lack of photos.
See, the key to Wrigley, too, if it's raining, if you're covered, like I was at the concert, I was also at Tom Petty. We were covered, so we had a fabulous time, dry, and enjoyed, and then probably paid a lot less. Well, she got them for free.
He had a great set list, too.
You
did? Isn't that great? Yeah. It's just all the songs you need to play.
It's an experience, though. I think sometimes if I would like to go see the opener, and then you see the headliner, you may not look forward to it, but all of a sudden I'm surprisingly happy that I went.
Paul Simon at Northerly Island, I went. It rained beforehand. It cleared out. There was mosquitoes everywhere. It was great.
My stepkids were at that show, and they it didn't go on until 9:15, and Patrick fell asleep there. So somebody asked him over the weekend, who would you like to see, Patrick? And he said, I'd like to go see Paul Simon again where I don't fall asleep during the show.
Oh, man, that's tough. That is tough. All right, it's a minute before 9. Coming up at 9:35, we'll talk to Brett Baer from Fox News Channel. And we have a hero coming in studio at 9:10. We'll give you details coming up on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity.
It is 9:10. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. In studio with us, we have a real-life hero, U.S. Navy vet Ryan Shannon, the captain of Team Navy's sitting volleyball. Good to see you, man. Congratulations on the gold.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for your service.
Thank you for the support.
How has Chicago been for you?
It's home to me, so coming home, it was a no-brainer. When my career started ending, I was like, we're going back to Chicago. No questions asked.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Morris, Illinois.
Okay. I passed Morris on my way to Peoria, so, you know, the small towns. I get it.
It's tiny.
Yeah. So how long did you serve?
I served just about 9 years, so just under 9 years. And I had like a 3-year stint of bad luck, which eventually led to being 90% disabled and my career ending. So
what happened? I ask because people are watching on CLTV. You walked in the studio. You look like a basketball player.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's wrong with this guy? Why was he in the Warrior Games?
So I have incomplete paralysis on my left foot, and I actually have a prosthetic brace that I wear right now.
Okay. I'm
looking at amputation, which is probably going to happen here in the future, near future. I also suffer from PTSD and anxiety and traumatic brain injury.
How do you deal with that, PTSD?
It's learning how to deal with it. And just asking for help and figuring things out. For me, it was music. Music helped out a lot for me. And it's tough. It's a battle every day.
Right. Is that why you started Music RX? That's your deal?
Absolutely. So I was prescribed a lot of pills when all these things happened, and my pills killed me. My wife resuscitated me in our bathroom, and my heart had stopped for just over 30 seconds.
You're kidding.
Yep. And I chose from that point when I woke up, I wasn't going to take pills anymore.
Wow.
Good for you.
So I started finding ways to therapeutically deal with the PTSD triggers and the anxiety and stress. And music therapy started coming back. I used music a lot to like get motivated for sports and events and things like that. But what I found was there's certain songs that I can go to if I have a PTSD trigger that takes me away from what's going on in my brain and kind of just focuses me in on
what's your go-to song? What is it?
Right now it's 21 Pilots. It's talking to me big time lately.
Okay.
That's awesome. When do you play an instrument, or is it the music that just changes your mindset?
So, like you said, I'm tall and gangly. So
I thought you were athletic, but okay.
You can be a drummer.
We can do athletic works. I was never really able to play and move my fingers and things like that really well. So I kind of dabble in guitar and drums and keyboard and stuff like that, but nothing to hold a tune really. So it's more about the lyrics and the composition of songs and stuff for me.
So you decided to start this to help out other people.
Absolutely. I found that
music therapy.
Yep. It helped me tremendously. I'm medication free. The highest thing I take is maybe an ibuprofen or an Advil or something like that. And, it worked for me, and it's actual medicine. Like there's
I agree with you 100%, man. I do. So music will change your mood. It'll change your style. I agree.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to, I've been helped so much along this path, and I was like, it's my turn to give back to my brothers and sisters out there. So started Music RX Foundation and looking to give free musical instruments, free music lessons, and then music going experiences, so concerts and things like that if they don't want to play.
What a fantastic way to help others when you hit that low point, which is, you know, it's a horrible thing to have happened, but it also changed your mindset and it made you say, hey, I want to help other people. I got to help myself. And you realize this music is changing your mindset and making you want to move forward and push through and have a great life. What did you do? What was your next step? And you said, I want to do this, Music RX. Who did you reach out to? How did it all get started?
I reached out to Betsy Shepherd. That's who I reached out to.
The queen of PR here in Chicago. Yes.
We started talking about it, and I kind of had the idea, and she came up with the name. She came up with our little tagline, Music is Our Medicine, and she kind of just started the ball rolling. And then I started getting involved in Warrior Games, so it was kind of take a break, but at the same time, I was still constantly thinking about it and using music to go win gold medal at Warrior Games, you know, and get psyched up. So it just kind of reiterated what I was trying to do is, and that's get help out to other people. It doesn't have to come to suicide and things like that. It can, there's other ways to go about it. And there's a lot of people who are going through these things. And if I can help one person in my warrior family, that
God bless you for that,
help
man.
Me, then
it's really fantastic. And they do a lot of music therapy and art therapy and acting therapy and all those great therapies, not only for PTSD and wounded warriors, but they also use that, you know, with kids with mental disabilities and other folks that have gone through
autism,
traumatic brain injuries. So I just think, you know, what you're doing here for the wounded warriors can really translate and cross the line to so many other people that can benefit from the music therapy.
Absolutely. And it's not just the wounded warriors. I extend it out to our first responders as well, because they're heroes too. So
absolutely.
U.S. Navy vet Ryan Channon in studio with us. For those of us that have hit rock bottom, I don't know if everybody on the show, but I've been there a few times, okay? And rock bottom, you usually find something that you can carry for the rest of your life. And, of course, the music did that. How did you get into the Warrior Games?
The Warrior Games, so I actually sponsored an athlete the year after I suffered my traumatic brain injury out in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. I kind of was in my process of realizing that some things were wrong. And I think it was my reach out for help kind of moment, but I sponsored an athlete and showed him around the island and everything. And they asked me to come play seated volleyball because they needed an extra body. I wasn't supposed to be there. I wasn't supposed to be doing those things, but they asked me to come out, and I knew from that point on, I was like, all right, I got to get into this program because it's helping. It's saving lives.
Isn't it amazing how God puts you in those situations?
Absolutely. It's wild.
Definitely.
Just a crazy ride.
So you decide to go into the Warrior Games.
Yep.
And how did you decide on volleyball? And you also do what? Swimming?
I do swimming and track.
Look how long he is. Yeah. Of course he's doing volleyball. He just hits it right over the top.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I took swim lessons last summer, so I'm obsessed with swimming now. And, of course, the Olympics last year.
Yep.
Okay. How do you get your breathing down?
For me, I had a lot
That's
of damage.
The hardest part of swimming.
I had a lot of damage to my legs, so I had to learn to swim without my legs, and it took me a whole year. So getting that part down took a while, and then I started learning to count my strokes while I was breathing. So face in the water, and then I'd count four and breathe. Very methodic. I'm not fast at all. Zero medals in swimming. A lot of fourth place finishes last week.
Hey, you're so close. That's right? It. You
you're
did
so
it.
Close. So I'm going to take a break and we'll talk more with you, okay?
Thank you.
U.S. Navy vet Ryan Shannon in studio with us, the captain of Team Navy's sitting volleyball. They won the gold at the Warrior Games. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Talking about Huey Lewis earlier. He'll be opening for Buffett tomorrow night. I love Huey Lewis. It's a guilty pleasure. I shouldn't feel bad about that. In studio with us, U.S. Navy vet Ryan Shannon, the captain of the Team Navy sitting volleyball team. They won the gold medal. By the way, we were talking about your charity, MusicRx. What is the website?
It's musicrxfoundation.org.
And you want people to go there. What do you want them to do when they get there?
If you could benefit from our services, then feel free to send an email. I have all the information on there on how to contact me.
Okay.
Also, if you want to be a sponsor or you're interested in helping us reach our goal of providing instruments and everything we give to veterans and first responders, there's also a place to donate on there as well.
Good for you.
Ryan, we all hear about PTSD, but I think that most of us don't know what that feels like or what you deal with or what the daily experience of that is. Can you kind of just take us into like what when it's coming on, what your challenges are?
Absolutely. So for me, the PTSD, and it's hard to explain, and no one's going to understand it unless they have it. Or like in my wife's case, she saw old me versus new me, so mm-hmm. she had to live through it as well. So it's... it's confusing, and the best way to describe it is it's almost like a cloud, like just suffocating you, and you don't feel like you can escape from that. There's triggers. For me, it was fire. Fire really affected me, and so the smell of like rubber on the highway could trigger me, things like that. So having that escape, which in my case is music, I can turn on the song, and it takes away that trigger. It takes me out of that cloud,
right,
and allows me to keep being me, a human, you know. But it's different for everybody, and that's the biggest problem, is that you aren't going to be able to cure something that's different for every single person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's medicine that zombied me out, and mm-hmm. now I'm not a dad or a husband or a functioning member. I'm just sitting here on the couch melting, you know. And so that's what I'm looking to do, is get... if you can utilize our program, if you can utilize an instrument or go to a concert or things like that, and it takes you out of the darkness, away from the cloud for even a night, then
right.
I've done what we came here to
People
do.
People want to take a pill. They want that quick fix.
Right.
Is it like heart racing? You can't breathe, anything like that?
It gets like that. The anxiety part of it definitely does. I know the first time I flew in an airport, it was I froze. I stopped, and I was in tears, and there's just no help, you know, and you feel helpless, and you don't know why it's happening, which is probably the hardest part.
Right, and you don't know what to do.
No, and it leads to depression and things like that, and I've been sure. there. I've been to the darkest part of it, where I didn't want to be this version of me anymore. So my wife pulled me out of that and helped me pursue and keep going forward, and then... this now is something more I can give back.
The next step. Right.
Good for you. It's one thing to take that next step with the music, and now you start the foundation to help other people, which is just a salute to you. And the Warrior Games, you won the gold medal in volleyball.
Undefeated.
Bang.
Got to throw it in there.
I got to tell you, my son played on the volleyball team this year for the first time. Basketball, volleyball, he does flag football. But I love volleyball.
It's awesome. And then the seated volleyball is faster. If you can imagine,
it's faster.
More fast paced.
Well, I was going to ask, how do you do it? How do you go after the balls?
So it's all on you're sitting, and you're using your hands and whatever foot or lack of feet you have to push, get under the ball, and then move and hit.
So you got to have a lot of strength. Are you jacked? Yeah. I can't see.
I'm
you're
not.
Shirt.
I say cut. We call it cut. He's not muscular.
Were you into volleyball before?
I did a lot of like sand volleyball and things like that. I lived in Hawaii and San Diego.
Of course you're playing sand volleyball if you live in those two cities. Yeah.
I envisioned myself as that Top Gun scene.
Right, right. Yeah. When you said, I was thinking Navy, you said Hawaii, I'm like, oh, Top Gun,
exactly.
There he is.
When you brought that up, I consider myself a maverick, and you, of course, Goose, right?
I'd be the Goose.
Yes, yes, you would.
That's true.
You're going to be competing this September.
Yes, in the Invictus Games.
Now, where are those?
That is in Toronto, Canada.
Same thing, volleyball?
I'll do volleyball and track for that one.
Okay.
And it's the same team that you go?
Warrior Games is service specific, so like Navy versus Army versus Marines, and the UK and Australia were there. Mm-hmm. Invictus is USA versus 17 other countries.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, dude, you're representing the United States. Don't blow it.
It's getting a little real here.
How do you do track? How do you?
Grit and determination. It's painful. It's not, this will be my last year of racing with both my legs. So, just getting through it, finishing, doing the best I can though.
Wow.
But if you see me running, it's all teeth and strained muscles. It's funny looking actually.
But you're doing it. What an inspiration. I want you to come on Living Healthy Chicago.
Absolutely.
I just read the promo. I'm like, I got to get him on.
This is the guy right here.
Yeah.
Yes. You're all about it. You still have family back in Morris?
I do. My dad, my mom, my extended family lives out there too.
Oh, fantastic. Yep. All right. I'm sure they're listening right now. You want to say hello?
Hi, mom. Hi, dad.
Two things I want to mention. We're doing two events together. You're going to be at Joel's Golf Outing, the Canal Shores Invitational, the 5th annual.
Yes.
You know that's a zoo. Joel Murray puts together a golf outing at Canal Shores, which is a public course that he grew up working on, and they close it down for a day.
Right.
And it's on my birthday, August 7th.
So it's going to be even bigger.
It's going to be off the charts. Crazy. Are you going to be golfing? What are you going to be doing?
I will be golfing.
Uh-oh.
Quote-unquote golfing. Okay. We'll see how that works out.
Brian Bickle, I'm hosting the 5K. You're going to be there for that.
Yep. I'm going to walk it. I'm not running.
That's okay. Obviously. I'll walk it with you. That'll be nice. Do I have to run, Betts? Okay. All right. That happens a week from Sunday morning, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I'll see you then.
Absolutely.
We're going to see each other a few times this summer.
I'm excited.
It's great to see you, man. You're really an inspiration.
Thank you.
Give the website again if people want to check it out and get involved.
It's www.musicrxfoundation.org.
U.S. Navy vet Ryan Shannon.
And what is so cool, when you go to the website right there, the first thing you see, welcome to Music Rx Foundation, donate. Big, right here, be involved, be a part of it, register, and help out, which is important. That's why we're going there. That's what we want to do.
Absolutely.
So thank you. You're awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming in, man. We'll see you soon. It's 720 WGN and CLTV.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Real change begins immediately with the repealing and replacing of the disaster known as Obamacare.
Repeal it and replace it.
Repeal and replace.
Repeal and replace
Obamacare. We're going to repeal it, we're going to replace it, we're going to get something good. Repeal it, replace it, get something great. We're going to kill it. Let it die. Let it die. And we're going to come up with something much, much better.
You're going to have such great health care at a tiny fraction of the cost, and it's going to be so easy.
What a train wreck. 720 WGN live on CLTV. The Senate Republican leaders rolled out their latest version of the health care bill. Let's bring in Brett Baer from Fox News Channel. Another Fox News alert. Brett, how are you, buddy?
Hi, Brett.
Good morning. How are you?
Is it a Fox News alert right now?
Probably later in the day. Right now, it's not alert worthy.
When
they're counting heads up on Capitol Hill, and it is, as you say, pretty ugly as far as a Republican point of view. They're working hard to get enough people to vote for it to be able to debate the bill on the floor. That's not a good sign when you're trying to actually pass the bill.
Well, we were joking yesterday that they're going to hurry up and roll it out so they can hurry up and kill it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's not a joke. I mean, I think that McConnell is looking at it and saying, you know, where are the people that are going to back this up? Already you have Senator Susan Collins from Maine.
Boy, she popped off early, and Rand Paul was all over Fox News yesterday.
And, Susan Collins are definite no's, and so they can only afford to lose one more, and then it's all gone. But there's an alternative up there. Lindsey Graham and Senator Cassidy from Louisiana have an alternative that kind of puts the power in the state's hands, gives them the money to determine each state how to run health care. But that's also a long shot. So if I had to bet, I would say it's going to be a negotiation with Democrats to try to fix the existing Obamacare.
Yep.
And when do we see it all kind of panning out and changing, or is it still going to be another 6 months?
No, they have to act pretty quickly because this thing is in some states really causing some serious problems. Some states you only have one insurer to choose from, and others it's getting ridiculous, the number of premium increases. So, you know, some states are up to 150% of the original premiums
right.
as they started. So they've got to act quickly. Either this is going to happen next week or it's not. And if it doesn't, I would expect the negotiations to start right away.
Sorry about that. I didn't know where that came from. Brett, here's my question.
Right.
If it would show a win for the Republicans and they could make it better over time, why wouldn't all the Republicans get on board right now?
You know, it's a great question, Pete, but they've been in the minority so long, it's a wonder that they don't know how to actually lead on a big issue. I think they've voted to repeal it 61 times. And so over the 7 years, you would think there would be a replacement that was ready to go. But herding the cats has been tough for the leadership, and they can't get around one particular plan.
Wow. All right. Let's move on to Don Jr. I mean, this has been a week. I feel like every week you feel like it's going to die down, and it just doesn't with
this
administration.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's the drip, drip, drip is it's just been dripping for a long time. And and listen, this story changed the dynamic. It was for all the there's no collusion, there's no meeting with Russians. Oh, wait a second, there was this Russian, and yes, the email did suggest that we were going to collude. But besides that, I think you know you've got it changed the storyline. Whether there's you know illegality there, I think is a real question, and it's going to be a long, long investigation.
There's a fine line between opposition research and collusion. What we know in the emails, the Russians have information on Hillary Clinton that can be used to help Mr. Trump. So Don Jr. says, "Yeah, I'd love to see it, and I think I'm going to use it later this summer if it is what you say it is." Isn't that collusion?
It's at least attempted.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, from all parties, she didn't come with anything. It was kind of a bait and switch to talk about the adoption issue, which is essentially Russian sanctions. And yeah, I mean, the email suggests that he says, "I love it," mm-hmm. you know, especially late in the summer.
Well, of course.
We don't know whether anything else comes to pass. I think, you know, Republicans point to Democrats, you know, working with the Ukrainians to try to get information on Trump. Politics is an ugly business, and when it's out in the open and you're down into the weeds of each of these meetings, it's going to be an ugly process to look at.
Do you think there's more where that came from? So this is just the beginning of the story, and these emails are just coming out. Is there more? Are they going to find more?
I think, you know, that's the big issue. I think the storyline about whether there was any cooperation on the digital stuff that Jared Kushner was doing, and that is like the data mining and the, you know, pushing certain things certain places. If there is some kind of interaction there, they've got big problems. If not, you know, Robert Mueller eventually is going to have to get to something, and the onus then goes on the folks who are investigating if it drags on so, so long.
Robert Mueller keeps hiring more people. He's got 16 on his team now?
He does, and there's a lot of white-collar prosecutors that are really top-notch, like A-team guys. And when you get all of those, you know, alpha dogs in the prosecuting world on a team, it's not like they're not looking to get something. So the avenues open up, just like you saw in Ken Starr, where it started about Whitewater and ended up with
yep.
a blue dress.
Yep.
You could end up a lot of places.
Do you think that's where it's going?
Well, I think that the finance thing is going to be, you know, the money is going to be where this kind of veers off.
That's what everybody's saying, yes. Look at the money trail.
And I think that, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And so that's where the danger is for the administration.
Now, President Trump says he did not know about this meeting with Don Jr. and the Russian lawyer. So he says he didn't know, and he's defending his son on Twitter and in the public. Do you think he is bringing the son in, you know, a separate room and screaming at him like, you know, what are you doing and why didn't you tell me about this? But in public, he's saying, oh, no, he did the right thing being transparent.
Yeah. You know, the whole transparent thing, he put the emails out, you know, a couple hours before the New York Times.
Right, the New York Times.
Exactly.
Yep.
He just wanted to be
super transparent. Yeah.
Right.
I'm not transparent until I get in trouble and someone's going to reveal it, so I'm going to be transparent.
Yeah. I think, you know, listen, President Trump wants to keep on. I think he looks good overseas. He had a good meeting with President Macron in France, and he wants to obviously move past this, but it's not going to leave anytime soon.
In all your years of being in politics and covering politics and following the White House, have you seen anything like this?
No, nothing. Not even close.
It's crazy.
Not even close.
We're 6 months in.
Yeah, every day is something completely different. We don't know what this day brings, but we're 140 characters from changing our whole
line. That is so true, man.
But my question
is, it's like every day.
Yeah.
Isn't Twitter, like Hillary was in trouble for using a public server, but Twitter is a public server.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's his printing press. You know, it's his how he gets around the media, and I don't expect him to stop using it.
No, he's not going to stop. And how was your vacation?
Awesome. Took the family to Italy, went to Rome and the Amalfi Coast, and quality time with the kids.
Here's where Brett and I differ. He goes to Italy and the Amalfi Coast. I went to Peoria to see my mother.
He went to Wisconsin.
And Wisconsin to see my wife's family. Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm just
Brett,
kidding.
My brother George is probably your biggest fan in Phoenix, Arizona. And I told him that we were having you on again, and he was so thrilled. But I just wanted to say that because I knew he wanted me to tell you this.
Well, tell George I said hi.
I will absolutely do that. Pete, how long have you and Pete known each other, Brett?
Gosh. So we go back to the Rockford, Illinois days.
Yeah, Brett worked in Rockford.
That is 1994, right?
Yeah.
So you worked together in Rockford?
Well, he was the news anchor on TV. I did the morning show in town, and you would come in and do the morning show.
Yeah, and then we would sometimes hang out for an adult beverage at a local place.
So, Brett, you are doing. You're the chief political anchor on Fox News Channel, and Pete's here across the table from me.
Wait a second. Hold on a second.
Wait a second.
Congratulations.
Yes. Wait a second.
What happened?
Wait a second. What is that supposed to mean?
I'm on WGN Radio, man.
Yes.
The mothership here.
I love
it. We broadcast to the entire state
of
Illinois.
Did you learn anything from Brett, Pete?
Well, yeah.
You actually did.
Tonight, this afternoon, another Fox News alert with Brett Baer. What time do you come on in Chicago? Is it 4 or 5?
5 p.m. your time.
5 o'clock
5
our time.
5 p.m. your time. Special report, 5 to 6, and we'll see what today brings.
I have never watched your show live. I always watch it on DVR, probably at 7 or 8 o'clock, I swear to you. I'm sure
but
you get that all the time. Yeah, as long as people
that's
are watching.
Right. You still get the ratings.
You're okay with it. Brett Baer, Fox News Channel. Good to talk to you, man. Have
the
a great
best.
Weekend.
We'll see you guys.
All right. He's the best.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's a likable, nice guy, and he's super smart.
Can you imagine following this administration?
Well, the thing is, when he said it's different every day, is it different every day because it's a different story that we're trying to figure out what happened behind the scenes? Or is it different politically because there's something new coming up that's going to help the general public?
Well, the news cycle, it Trump gets in his way. If there's good news, he'll tweet something out that'll trump that news.
Right.
Pun intended. Okay? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
There's always something. All right. It's 720 WGN and live on CLTV. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve and the crew back on Monday. Jane Monsouris, Mark Carman's here. Here's a question for you. First of all, sad news. Pepsi announced that Britney Spears will not be doing the Super Bowl halftime show.
Ouch.
One already? Like in the 90s?
Did she?
I think so.
Maybe.
That's
who?
Okay.
Here's your question. Who would you like to see do the Super Bowl halftime show?
The Biebs.
Justin Bieber?
Sure.
No. No.
Miley.
I do like Miley Cyrus.
Miley's cleaning up her act a little bit. I think she would be fun. I don't know if anything can top Lady Gaga. Mark?
I want to bring old school into the mix here. Can we get some Tom Petty, please? I thought he did a great job.
That's on my list. I have it written down.
I need somebody jumping around a little
bit more.
Wendy,
come on over.
A little bit more enthusiastic.
I'm sure Wendy's going to go classic rock here. Who would you like to see doing the halftime show?
Oh, boy.
Pearl Jam? I'd love to see Pearl Jam do the halftime show. Springsteen, I thought, killed it. It's one of my favorites.
Ronnie Woo Woo. Can I get a Ronnie Woo Woo?
Has Paul McCartney done? I'm sure he's done the halftime show.
Yeah, he has. He's done it.
But I don't remember it, so maybe it's time to bring him back.
I liked The Who.
I thought The Who were terrible.
I liked it.
What do you? What do you like? They could.
The
they
music
were
they played.
They couldn't sing.
They're fine. They're.
I don't know.
I'm probably stating the obvious, but Dexy's Midnight Runner is always playing on the show.
Come on, Eileen. Okay, they open with that. What's next?
You play another version of Come On, Eileen, and you close with Come On, Eileen,
and then bring out Bruno Mars. And let's bring out Bruno Mars for the fourth year in a row.
Come On, Eileen. I like it when they do a pop star mix with a rock group because you get the cool classic rock, and you're like, yeah, I love the rock, and then you get some like dancers performing in the background, and maybe pop in a little pop. It's
that's just pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's put Bruno Mars with anyone. The Eagles and Bruno Mars.
Mark Harmon just sent me a note that says Gordon Lightfoot. He doesn't want to say it on air. But I think that's a good idea.
I didn't think you were going to say it on air. I love
that's
Gordon.
A great idea.
Lightfoot. Van Halen would be good.
Van Halen, but with Sammy. You can't do David Lee. He can't sing anymore.
Yeah, I saw that show. It was kind of tough.
It's terrible. I've seen him twice.
Tom Petty did it in 08. I take that back. He's already been there.
He did?
2008.
I don't remember one.
Right after Prince and before Bruce Springsteen.
God, Springsteen was great.
Yeah.
I like the Foo Fighters.
Okay.
With, but it's not mass with
appeal.
Pop star.
It's not mass appeal enough.
You don't think so?
No, the Foo Fighters.
What about Ed Sheeran?
Can we get an Ed Sheeran?
Ed Sheeran.
I love Ed Sheeran.
Wow, that was hostile.
He's sensitive.
I love Ed.
He's very sensitive. Yeah. I like it.
How about John Mayer and the Dead?
Yes.
Time show.
John
everybody
Mayer
smoke it up and you can fall asleep during the second half.
It'll be like a 3-3 halftime score.
Right.
And then they'll come in to rep people up.
The guitar solo is still going. It's only 2 hours now. We got to wrap this up.
The players will get high from the overflow in the stadium.
Could you imagine? The Deadheads. And they always find a way to get in. How do you get tickets to the Super Bowl? I don't know, man.
It's a miracle, man. Why is the referee twirling?
Tie-dyed uniforms, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I'd like that. I'd like to see it.
Or outfits, as Bill calls them.
Outfits.
Outfits.
That's what they wear. They're outfits.
Come on, man.
That's what the guys wear. They're outfits.
Do you have a Cub hat? Can I get you a Cub hat?
I have a Cubs hat.
Do you ever wear it? I always see it in the Red Sox hat.
No, I wear it sometimes.
Okay.
He likes the beef for Bill.
Maybe for your birthday.
Yeah,
I wear it in August
what I
for your
it was
birthday.
For. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
How's the calf?
It's getting better, Mark. Thank you.
See, I care, Bill.
It's been a struggle, but it's getting better. Thank you for
Bill has a leg injury.
With the boots off.
You got a thing?
Yeah.
You look good.
Oh, the boots off?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
There's no boot.
Yeah.
When did you take it off?
3 days ago.
Seriously?
You share an office.
I don't look at his bottom half.
You walk in together every day.
Sometimes Wendy will say this, "You're on fire. How long have you been on fire?" And I go, "An hour and a half. Please throw water on me." I didn't even notice.
Are you following Wimbledon today?
Yeah, very much so.
And you're a big tennis
guy. Very much so.
I mean, Carm, he gets up, he's watching TV during commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should be good.
Who are you rooting for tomorrow in the women's?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not positive. I'm not committing to anything.
We'll wait until you decide.
Venus is taking on, how do you pronounce her name?
You're really considering rooting for Garbine Muguruza? You got to go Venus.
Garbine Muguruza.